Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today our journey through the Gospel of John and the Last Supper Discourse. We've covered most of it, chapter 14, most of chapter 15, 17. So we've done that over the last few weeks. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website. You can listen to it there. Best thing to do is to download the Renewal Ministries app from the App Store. It gives you access anytime, night or day, to all our programming, all our radio shows. You can listen to them at your convenience, or also to download the Ave Maria app. And don't forget to get your free copy of my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. So it'll be offered at the end of the program. So I ended yesterday at the beginning of John 16, where Jesus is describing the falling away that's going to happen and the persecution that the apostles will experience. And it's interesting, Jesus says this in verse 3. I didn't mention that yesterday. He said, and why will these people do it? Like, why will they try to kill you? Why do they think they're doing the right thing? And he said, they will do this because they have not known the Father nor me. This is a theme in the Last Supper Discourse where Jesus repeats it again and again, that even the religious leaders don't know the Father. And Jesus came to make known the Father. What he's saying is they've rejected me and they've rejected the Father. And Jesus uses the strongest language. He goes, why? Because they actually hate me and they hate the Father. And what do they hate? The rule of God, the authority of God, the need to submit to God. It's a proud human heart that Jesus is exposing. And then he said, I say these things to you that when this hour of trial comes, you may remember that I told you them. So he wants to prepare them. They're about to see it. And all kinds of things are going to be revealed about themselves on Holy Thursday night and Good Friday, especially St. Peter, Judas, and others. They're going to scatter, as Jesus will say to them a little bit later, you will scatter. And in other gospel accounts, of course, the apostles say, no, that's not going to happen. Peter in particular says to Jesus, these guys might do it, but not me. I mean, I'm your man. I will be totally loyal to you. And I'm not really afraid of anybody. Now, I'm putting words in his mouth, but that's essentially what he said. And then Jesus looked at him in that moment and said to him, Peter, no, you will deny me. And then Peter says, no, I'll die before I deny you. And Jesus looked at him again and says, no, not tonight, Peter. Tonight you're going to deny me three times. Deny that you even know who I am, that you have nothing to do with me. And Peter, of course, didn't believe it. And then reality hit. So Jesus is exposing the heart problem, the sin problem, the sin-sick condition of the human heart, the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the powers of sin and death, of living under the reign of death, and the fear and the self-concern and the self-protection, the fear of dying, of being diminished, that's really powerful at work in human beings, so much so that we are slaves to it in different ways. And so Jesus is revealing that fact, and the apostles yet didn't see it, despite the fact that they were with Jesus for 3 years. So Jesus continues now in 16, talking about the work of the Spirit. He said, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me, going back to the Father. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Jesus began to say, I'm not going to be with you much longer. Remember in John 14. And so there's a sadness in their hearts. And they can't imagine what life's going to be like without him. Plus, he was only in his 30s. And no, this can't be right. You're the Messiah. You're really going to transform things down here. And it's going to be great for us, for the Jewish people in the days ahead. But they had much to learn. And then Jesus says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's teaching them more and more about the Holy Spirit. And he's making clear to them that the reason it's better that he goes, even though it's hard for them to even grasp how that could be possible, he said his going is the key or the necessary thing that has to happen so the sending can happen and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So we see here, again, the mission that The work of salvation is a Trinitarian work. It's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It begins in the heart of a loving Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He sent his Son into the world. He sent his Son into the world to deal with the sin problem that produces the death problem in us, which means separation from God. He comes to deal with that situation, and he did that by becoming one of us. And it's only when Jesus goes through the Passover, his crucifixion, in which he perfectly offers himself in love to the Father. He fulfills the first commandment and the second commandment to the full. He loves God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he loves his neighbor as himself. He's the second Adam, where Adam failed in his relationship to give to God what belongs to God. Jesus fills it full and gives the Father everything humanity was meant to give to God, fundamentally, and what they were invited into, and we turned our backs on and became subject to sin and its power. But when Jesus returned, the Father will raise Jesus because he's a faithful son, because he was falsely accused, because the Father received his offering of love, that act of love by which we are saved. It's a free offering from a heart that was filled with love, the fiery love of Jesus for the Father. And Jesus, in that moment of living out what we're called to be, shows us without question what it means to love God. And how did he do it? He humbled himself. He became obedient. Philippians 2 tells us. Even unto death, even death on a cross. And for that, God has highly exalted him. God has exalted. This is what God exalts. God exalts humility. God exalts meekness and kindness, the character of Jesus. He exalts those who from the heart obey him and respond to his invitation and recognize who he is. So he says, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him. And when he comes, he will convince the world. This is so good. He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. This is for John, the fundamental sin the world needs to be convicted of. They refuse to believe in God. And believing in God is not just, yeah, okay, God, yeah, I believe a God exists, but I kind of live as if he doesn't exist. Belief is not only receiving and believing his revelation of himself in nature, in creation, but in what's brought to him, the message of his Son who he sent. To refuse that, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world. And to refuse that is to reject God. And the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to prove the world wrong. Sin because they did not believe in me. He's going to show human hearts. He's going to help us see the reality of the consequences of unbelief. So we look at unbelief today like innocence, like, yeah, it's just hard for people to believe, and there's so many other voices, and plus everybody should follow their own bliss. That's the best thing. Just kind of whatever you think, whatever your spirituality is, whatever design you have for your life, we look at it with the wrong eyes. We don't see it clearly. But the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will convict human hearts, which will, when they receive the Holy Spirit, when they hear the gospel proclaimed, and they have that graced moment where they actually understand why Jesus died, they're going to realize how the depth of the sin that's expressed in unbelief. And he says, of unrighteousness, because I go to the Father, right? He's, the real righteousness is revealed in Jesus. He reestablished for us. He revealed for us what right relationship with God looks like. And he's rewarded and exalted at the right hand of the Father, and he's reunited, and he's able to live in the great commandment, live in love. And then finally, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more, and he says, and then also the Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world will be judged. There's a day coming, it's set, the Father's got it in the calendar, when the Son of God, all power, glory, majesty, and dominion belong to him. He is the living flame of love. His eyes are a flame of fire. He sees everything. Nothing escapes his gaze. And the eyes of Jesus, the flaming eyes of Jesus, we see in the book of Revelation 3 times it's described that way. is the eye is the window to the soul. We see in the soul of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, is the eternal flame of love, the white hot fire of the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now burns in human flesh, in the core of Jesus of Nazareth. This is how he's raised to glory, human flesh that had fallen from glory. This is the amazing, amazing reality that the Father has allowed human flesh to come into the communion of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's that Holy Spirit that Jesus casts upon the earth. He said he came to cast fire on the earth, to set your heart and mine aflame so that our hearts burn like his and our eyes begin to burn with the love of God. But that fire of God, friends, it's the energy between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's purifying. It comes to burn away all that separates us from God. All that we're attached to that's inconsistent with God's plan has to come under that flame, has to be consumed by that flame, has to be destroyed by that flame. And that's an act of love. We don't like that idea. We love our idols, and it's painful to us at times if it happens, because we're attached to them. We've found our identity in them. So when that burning fire of love comes to detach us, it touches our identity. It touches our attachment, our self-love, and all kinds of things are involved in it. But that fire is also the fire of love, of God's desire, of the love of a jealous God who wants to bring us into love. He wants to remove everything that hinders love. That's the flaming fire of the Holy Spirit. That's the fire Jesus wants to cast on the earth. And it's a fire that then burns for those who don't know Jesus. It's a fire that fuels and thrusts us into mission and gives us a heart for the lost and helps us grasp the eternal perspective and what is really going on in the world and what's really important in this world. It's purifying. It's so wonderful, and it spreads like a real fire spreads, right? And so verse 12, he goes on to say, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will speak on not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So remember, Jesus said he didn't come on his authority. He came on the authority of the Father. He spoke what the Father gave him to speak. Then the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. He comes on their authority and the authority of the Son, and he speaks to the human heart what the Son wants him to speak, what the Father wants the Spirit to speak. And he'll show us what is to come. The plan of God will be unfolding. Just reading the Word of God, this is part of what the Holy Spirit's mission was, to write this, you know, with inspiring Luke and John and those who wrote the letters in the New Testament and the Scripture itself. It's the breath of the Spirit that is showing us God's plan. And then in verse 14, he says this beautiful, beautiful thing. He will glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and he'll declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is rich. That is awesome. He will glorify me. How does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? He'll take what is mine. That is the reality of who Jesus is. The bridegroom, the king, the judge, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the savior of the world, the Messiah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of kings and the lord of lords. This is who he is. This is the reality of who he is. And the Holy Spirit wants to reveal that to every human heart. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.